Hi friends, welcome to Beautiful World, the Baha Inspired Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, listening by and downloading. It's been quite some time that I posted the last podcast, mainly because I've been traveling around attending the Baha Youth Conference in the North India in December last year, and also my high school reunion, and it was wild time out there. And today we have Badi and Amita, and we are going to do an interesting podcast on the topic marriage.
Woohoo!
Wow, you must have been inspired by your travels, Praveen.
In fact, kind of.
Something cooking, Praveen?
High school reunion, old classmates.
Oh, what were those pictures we saw with some?
And if you go.
Okay.
On
I'm still in the valley of search. Let's get back to the topic.
So a lot of you must have been discussing marriage out there, right?
Exactly.
Isn't it a little scary sometimes?
Yeah, but I always have this question in life, you know. Like, why do people get married?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So why do you want to get married, Praveen?
I want to marry and have kids who would be of service to the humankind, who would do good things and great things for the humankind.
Okay.
And that is one. Secondly, I want to find someone with whom I can work out things well, and who would help me to grow, who I can help to grow, and we both can help each other grow and do great things, grow spiritually and other things in life, you know.
Live together till those good old days when all your teeth are falling out of your mouth, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, the other day I saw this quotation. It says, Baha'i marriage is a commitment of two parties.
Oh, really?
One to the other.
Oh.
And the mutual attachment of mind and heart. Is this something what you're talking about?
Wow.
You live together in harmony and all that?
Yeah, it is a contract and it is also a spiritual bonding. It's two things, you know.
Mind and heart.
And it's interesting that it says it's a commitment by both the parties.
What do you mean by commitment? Is it something to do with legal affairs?
I think it's more of a personality issue.
Okay.
Imagine you're doing a project with someone, some kind of project at work.
Okay.
And you can't, and the other person is unwilling to commit. You can't rely on this person.
Okay.
Or maybe you are the person who's not willing to commit. What happens to this kind of a project?
Collapse. Failure.
Disappointment.
True.
You get upset with each other. So imagine getting into
a collaboration.
With the life partners.
Okay.
Thinking
who's
of
not committed.
Yes. Thinking of living the rest of your life with someone who is unwilling to commit to making things work out together.
It'll never work out.
Making a life together.
You won't be ready to get into such a thing with someone who is not committed. I mean, I wouldn't get into a marriage when
someone
is not.
Yes, that marriage would get nowhere.
So what else was in that?
Yes, it goes on to say, each must, however, exercise the utmost care to become thoroughly acquainted with the character of the other, that the binding covenant between them maybe a tie that will endure forever. It's interesting that it says you should become thoroughly acquainted with the character, not with the personality.
So,
what do you
is
think?
This talking about before marriage or after marriage?
I guess before. You don't want to find out after you're married. It would be like opening up a package and finding some gift that you don't even like.
Oh. So, is marriage, can we compare it to a plot of land? So, a plot of land where two people come together to work upon it, to make it into a beautiful garden.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a picnic spot.
Okay.
It's definitely not a picnic, that's for sure.
Okay.
Why did you give this example, bro?
Because when two people get married, there are a lot of expectations from each other.
Oh, I want
so,
this from my marriage.
Yeah, I want this and I want that. And when you have all these expectations lead to disappointment. So when two people come to work upon a plot of land.
So it's an empty plot of land.
It's an empty plot of land. And you can't expect fruits and vegetables on the day one itself. So they have to toil, they have to sweat and they have to work. And they have to prune and they have to nurture and they have to
And they have to keep weeding.
They have to keep weeding.
That's where commitment comes in.
Commitment comes in.
Because you know the fruits are going to come one day.
Amazing, absolutely. So it's not just fruits and vegetables. It's a lot of toil. It's a lot of
flowers, lawns.
all at the end, I guess. So.
And everyone enjoys this part of planting.
Very much.
Yeah, so it not only benefits the two people in the marriage, but also benefits society at large, right? So what do you think about the importance of marriage in today's society?
I remember hearing this gentleman talk about once he traveled in Congo.
Okay.
And the roads had been built a few years ago.
Okay.
A few years before. And when he went this time, he noticed that the roads had disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
The jungle had just eaten it up. The country fell
consumed
into,
it.
The country fell into civil war.
Okay.
And the roads were just totally destroyed.
Everything became
a
jungle.
The only way to travel was by boat.
Oh.
And I think your garden stands risk of the same thing.
How?
Weeds.
Oh, weeds.
Apart from growing things, you need to think about constantly weeding it. Taking care of this, protecting it.
So marriage has to be protected.
Well, it's interesting, you know. People get married for all kinds of reasons. It might be for infatuation, convenience, social position, status, wealth, all kinds of strange reasons. But tell me, Praveen, why exactly are you getting married? What do you look for in marriage?
That's a very interesting question, Amita.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had told me a story, and the story is about a professor who had organized a workshop for a marriage, you know. Like, he had called a bunch of young men and young women to his classroom, and all of them are just about to get married.
Okay.
And just before the workshop had begun, he had on a large tray, he had different types of glasses. Some small, some big, some with some painting on it, some with weird painting,
some
with
made
nice
in China,
some ceramics,
India.
Some wooden, and different diverse, you know. And he was serving tea to all of them. And all of them showed interest in picking the best cups. In
the best looking one.
Best
right?
looking cups.
Okay.
People wanted, some wanted the Chinese, some grabbed the wooden ones with sculptures and things like that. So after all of them had their teas and things like that.
Yes, they must have been showing off their fine girls.
Exactly. And then what the professor concluded was, he asked them, he told them that each one of you all showed utmost interest in taking the best cups.
Best looking.
Yeah, best looking cups and things like that. At the end, what they really wanted was tea. They really wanted tea, but they all went for something that was superficial, that was external.
It's very interesting.
So I believe even marriage, you know, people look for things which are very superficial, ephemeral and external. We should look for things which we really want, like
something deeper, huh?
Yeah, something like helping each other grow spiritually,
right?
A lot of things like that, and all these things I believe are built into the concept of Baha'i marriage.
Exactly. So marriage is more of a fortress. It's like for the well-being of the people within that fortress.
Exactly. And a Baha'i marriage is a fortress of well-being, you know.
Yeah, right. In fact, the Baha'i writings further say on this that the connection between the man and the woman is a spiritual one. It's a bond that will abide forever. And likewise, they will enjoy strong and lasting ties in the physical world as well. For if the marriage is based both on the spirit and the body, that union is a true one. Hence, it will endure. If, however, the bond is physical and nothing more, it is sure to be only temporary and must inexorably end in separation. So therefore, when people undertake to marry, the union must be a true relationship, a spiritual coming together,
okay,
as well as a physical one, so that throughout every phase of life and in all the worlds of God, the union will endure and go on and on and on.
Amazing.
And on.
So Praveen, you're talking about this plot of land that you want to make into a beautiful garden.
Exactly.
You mean you want to find a helpmate, a life partner who will you'll do this together with. But
true.
What's the point? Because when your parents find someone who you're going to get married to,
okay,
how do you know that this person is going to share your visions, your dreams, your aspirations? Why even bother searching?
In traditional Indian families, marriages are arranged for the children by the parents. But
yes,
going by the Baha'i perspectives, I have to choose my partner. I have to choose someone who is pleasing to me. This is all because I know myself more than anyone else. That is the first condition. The second condition given going by the Baha'i perspectives is all this has to happen. All this selection by myself has to happen with the consent of my parents. Marriage, union of two families. So marriage has to be done with the consent of my parents.
But before you find your life partner, your parents do not interfere?
No, they don't interfere. But once we choose our life partner, we have to the marriage is done with their consent only.
And if they say no, then no.
Then we wait.
And if they still say no?
And we still wait.
And if they still say no?
Then we don't get married, right?
Yeah.
We look for another life partner.
Interesting.
So, what are some prerequisites for a Baha'i marriage?
I guess as Praveen just said, you absolutely need the consent of all living parents.
Okay.
Are there any rituals in the Baha'i marriage?
It's a very interesting point that Baha'i marriage is the simplest to perform.
Oh, really?
But the most difficult to arrive at.
Okay. How do you say that?
Because there are no rituals in the Baha'i wedding. All you have to do is recite one verse with two witnesses.
Okay.
And the consent of your parents.
Okay.
But the difficult part is that you, my friend,
okay,
have to search for that person who you believe is going to be an ideal life partner.
Okay.
And that is an immense responsibility. And mind you, it's the second most important decision of a person's life.
Oh.
That's where the whole commitment issue comes up.
I heard there is something like a dowry here.
Yeah, that is right. You know, usually in Indian marriages, the woman has to give the man dowry.
Okay.
But in the Baha'i marriage, the man gives the woman a certain amount of dowry.
Oh no.
Ha ha ha.
Why does that happen? Why is there any reason behind it?
Yeah, definitely there is a reason. It's more of a token to show that the man will take care of the woman and
okay.
stand by her.
So like 1 car, 1 kg gold, something like that?
Well, not really that much. It's 80 grams of silver or gold, but silver is preferred.
Oh, thank God. So Praveen, in this space age, this ultra-modern age, why do you think something so ancient as the institution of marriage is so important?
I believe strong marriages create great families.
Exactly. And these families are the building blocks for a strong society also.
Oh, and I guess strong societies make strong nations.
And great nations form great civilizations.
All fits in place.
All comes down to marriage again. Strong marriages lead to strong civilizations.
Exactly.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the quote of the week from the Baha'i writing. God hath made woman and man to abide with each other in the closest companionship and to be even as a single soul. They are two helpmates, two intimate friends, who should be concerned about the welfare of each other. For the importance of marriage lieth in the bringing up of a richly blessed family, so that with entire gladness they may, even as candles, illuminate the world.
And that's all, folks, for this week. Keep your suggestions coming in only to spravenitpro@gmail.com. We are running out of ideas and we need all your suggestions and all your themes that we could have for the future episodes. Thanks for tuning in and downloading. It's Praveen signing off. Adios.
Concentrate all the thoughts of your heart on love and unity. When a thought of war comes opposed by a stronger thought of peace. Concentrate all the thoughts of your heart on love and unity. A thought of hatred must be destroyed by a more powerful thought of love. Concentrate all the thoughts of your heart on love and unity.